Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we're going to end this week's programming with an insight on how you can become more acquainted with yourself, be at ease with who you are, work with your dreams, be able to deal with anxiety, perhaps, frustrations. How is this possible? And is it inexpensive? You bet. All it takes is a pen and paper, believe it or not. We're going to be talking with Joanne DiMaggio about a publication that she has done called Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're a graduate of the University of Illinois. You, interestingly enough, have a degree in history, which I think is fascinating. Not many people choose that level of education. But you also decided you were going to go into something called transpersonal studies, and you went through a university in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and actually going through that master's program enabled you to put together the material for your book, Soul Writing, and you've published a number of articles. You've got all kinds of credits to your name. I was fascinated with the fact that you also were a student of Edgar Cayce's readings. And, of course, for those of you that are not familiar with him, I'm sure you are, but for those that are not familiar with him, this was a man whose skills of the mind were quite phenomenal. Very few people ever reached that particular level that he had accomplished. And there were all kinds of written records, and they are in files that you have access to at the Association for Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach. Joanne, this is something that we will hear frequently about, how journaling is very important. It's a way for us to relieve stress, anxiety. For you, your writing actually started when you were quite small. Tell us about how you got started with your secret codes.
Well, as I say in my book, I grew up in an Italian-American family in Chicago. And although my parents were born in this country, my grandparents were from Sicily. And so whenever my parents didn't want my brother or I to know what they were talking about, they would lapse into Italian and leave us out. And so I was very irate by this. And so around the age of 9, I decided that I was going to come up with a secret code and that I would leave messages around the house so that they wouldn't be able to read them. And then they would see what it felt like, you know, to be left out. And so being a good Catholic girl, I knew how to pray really well. And I went into the bathroom, which was the only private room in the house, sat under the sink, and I said a prayer. And I said, "Dear Jesus, please help me come up with a secret code that Mom and Dad won't know what I'm writing." And I just did that little bit of a meditation, even though at 9 I didn't know what meditation was. And I just sat there for a while and was quiet. And all of a sudden, these little figures, stick figure kind of things, were coming into my head, and I was writing them down. So I said, "Okay, this is going to be my A, and this is my B," and I went through the whole alphabet. Well, I left the messages around the house. My parents could care less, so I abandoned that whole idea. 25 or so years later, I'm attending a calligraphy class at one of my local community colleges, and the instructor is showing us the history of handwriting. And when she did, she put up my little stick figures, and I was appalled. I thought, how in the world did she know about my secret code? And then she told the class that those little figures she had put up were actually from the Phoenician alphabet dating 1000 B.C. So somehow I had tapped into that alphabet. Don't ask me how, and when I was absolutely astounded when she said that. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time that I actually experienced the process of inspirational writing, but it would be many, many, many years until I knew exactly what that was.
Explain to us what soul writing is, your definition.
My definition of soul writing is it is a form, it's a written form of meditation. You know, they say that prayer is you talking to God and meditation is God talking to you. So it is a written form of that. Many times people meditate and they get messages from that still small voice within. But if they're like me, they'll often forget it a few days later. The power of it will diminish as time goes by. With soul writing, you're still listening to that still small voice, but you're allowing the message to come through you and out through your hand. So it's a method of communication that accesses information from a higher source, whether that's, you call it the creative forces, which is another name for God, or your angels, or your higher self. And then that information is channeled through your soul and then out through your hand.
There are two stories that come into mind. One is out of your book about Richard Bach, who's been a guest on my show more than once, mm-hmm. and I loved Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Me too.
And that came out many years ago, but tell us the story about how he got that wonderful, wonderful piece of writing that to this day has great meaning for a lot of people.
Right. Well, I heard the story through Dick Sutphin. He had said that one day Richard Bach was walking and he heard an inner voice declare Jonathan Livingston Seagull over and over again. And then there was more. And he went home and began writing immediately, almost furiously trying to keep up with the flow of words that were coming spontaneously to his mind. And so the way Dick Sutphin tells the story, in one sitting he wrote that beautiful story about the bird that teaches us how to follow our dreams and reach our goals no matter what anyone else might think. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty typical of many writers, composers, artists who are able to tap into that higher consciousness of divine inspiration and then pull it in and turn it into a piece of work.
Ruth Montgomery is a very, very famous author who you explicitly bring out in your book because she, on a daily basis, went mm-hmm. through a particular exercise because she said the writing was not really hers. Tell us about Ruth.
Well, what's interesting about Ruth is that, you know, she was a nationally syndicated news columnist before she started writing metaphysical books. But she said that all of her later books were created through, now she called it automatic writing, and mm-hmm. there is a difference. So every morning she would sit at her desk in front of her typewriter and she'd say a prayer, close her eyes, relax her fingers over the keyboard, and then she said her guide Lily and 12 others came through and giving her what she called the most beautiful philosophy that she ever read. And I understand that she actually went to the ARE and worked with Edgar Casey's son, Hugh Lynn, on her writing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a number of other people, but I know Napoleon Hill, in his book, Think and Grow Rich, and also in the original manuscript, which was quite large, called The Law of Success, he talks about a man who built a special room for himself. It was small. It had a table desk in it, chair. It was situated before a post that had a light switch on it. And he would take a pen, go in with sheets of paper, and he would isolate himself. The room was soundproofed so he wouldn't get any outside interference. Mm-hmm. He'd turn off that light, and he would think about a problem that needed to be solved. And then he would just write. That's what he would do. People from all over the world paid this man for solutions because he would come up with formulas, everything else. Now, that is called that would have been called automatic writing in my understanding. But he didn't remember anything that he did. He would go into this altered state, and he'd stay in there. Sometimes he'd be in there for 15 minutes. Sometimes he'd be in there for hours.
Mm-hmm.
But he would get this information,
mm-hmm.
and it was just so accurate, and he didn't worry about where it came from or anything else. This was a discipline where he allowed himself to be the facilitator for information. And I know Frank DeMarco, you mentioned in your book, and he was a guest on my show just recently, and he talks about how he gets his inspiration in a very interesting way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many of these comments that you make in your book are good for people to read, because they'll recognize that people from all genres have this capacity, and when they tune into it, when they allow it to work through them, it really can be quite surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone can do it. It just really just takes practice. It's
mm-hmm.
not anything that's limited to somebody with a particular talent and or an ability. You know, Casey said that it's our birthright to communicate with Source. And so I like to tell people it's like having a little phone home card. And you can use it any time and get in touch with guidance 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And
mm-hmm.
it's free.
mm-hmm. And what I think is important is that when you do it, and this is my bias, you need to be in a place where you're not going to be interrupted.
Absolutely.
You need to be in a place where you have a sense of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because at least I think for myself, and it's pretty much been the case for most of my life, I just do better when it's that way. And yet
right.
there have been times that I've written where I've been in the midst of chaos, yet I could isolate myself mentally because
mm-hmm.
nobody was bothering me, even though there was a lot of noise around me.
Right.
I had the capacity to concentrate, and I would just do whatever needed to be done. So I've worked in different environments, but I really think it's an advantage when you can have a quiet space. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. One of the first steps I have in my how to establish a writing ritual is to find a sacred place. And I like to tell the story that here in Charlottesville, you know, we're the home of Thomas Jefferson, and if you go to Monticello and you go through his suite of rooms, those rooms were once referred to by a guest in his home as his sanctum sanctorum, and nobody was allowed in there except for a handful of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where his creative genius flowed. And I think everybody has a sanctum sanctorum in their home. They just need to walk through it, sense the energy, feel a place that you feel you can really connect with spirit, where you are not distracted, and you can set aside a certain amount of time to do the writing, and then just claim that as your own, and surround yourself with things that remind you of your spiritual journey, and just make a date with yourself to be there every day, do this connection with the divine.
Many times in today's world, people prefer to use computers.
Right.
There is something I have found that happens when you're actually using a pen. And you
right.
make a comment in your book that when you write, it slows you down, which
mm-hmm.
is true. It does. I can type 3 to 4 times faster than I can write.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind works so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What has been your experience with this? Many people would say, I would rather be like Ruth Montgomery and use not a typewriter, but a computer keyboard.
Well, I've done both, and I tell everybody to experiment with both. I personally like to write with a fountain pen in a journal. I like the way the ink flows. There have been times when I've tried to switch to the keyboard and the writing stops. This was especially true when I was working on getting information about a previous lifetime, and the writing flowed when I did it by hand, but the moment I sat at the computer, it stopped. Now, there are people like Julia Cameron. She'll talk about how she has a little note on her computer that says, you know, God, you take care of the quality, and I'll take care of the quantity. But the problem with doing it on the keyboard is that you're in an altered state of consciousness, and your eyes are half closed, and you may be staring at the monitor, and if your hands are just off by one key, you won't be able to read anything that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I prefer to use to do it by hand, just because I love that process. I love the feel of it just kind of coming through me and then out through my hand. My arm does feel different when I'm doing this writing, and
mm-hmm.
I could almost sense the guidance that's with me. It's like a loving hand on top of mine or just sort of guiding me. So I always use a fountain pen when I'm doing it. And most people, I have found, do prefer that method.
You bring two points out that I think are very significant, and one is to be like Ruth Montgomery and just have a small statement of meditation or prayer before you start.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of gets you focused, but asking for your highest good,
mm-hmm.
always asking for the highest good, and that no harm comes to anyone, and that's the way it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that a very interesting statement. Why does that make a difference?
Well, saying the prayer of protection is very important and should never be skipped. I believe you're born with a vibrational rate that you earned in the past, and how you've lived your life from the time you were born until now dictates whether or not you've raised or lowered that rate. And there are factors that cause your rate to lower temporarily, such as depression or sickness or alcohol or drugs. So regardless of whether you're an experienced metaphysician or a novice, it's just important to say the prayer and use white light protection to make sure that you're covered. So Casey strongly urged saying a prayer or an affirmation simply to magnify the presence of constructive influences. And with automatic writing, that is one of the biggest problems, in that when you're meditating, you're opening yourself up to what Casey called low influences. He said there were spirits on the outside who were always looking for a way to communicate, but they weren't always for your highest and best. So by saying the prayer and using white light protection, you're assuring that you will only get information that is for your highest and best.
The other point you had made is make sure that whatever you write, that it is not going to be violated by other people reading it. That this is a very personal something that belongs to you as an individual. And nobody has the right to violate that. And I'll never forget when I was a teenager, I had been keeping a diary, and someone got into my diary. And and I knew they had gotten into it because I had written things that I hadn't discussed with anybody. And a person made a comment just as a sarcastic remark, and I went, oh, no, they got into my diary.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I live, I'll never forget that violation. And
is that the worst feeling?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is really something we don't want, because many times when people are writing, they're bringing out the depth of maybe what they're feeling or their fears,
right.
And it's not because they're trying to be bad or negative or anything else. They're just putting it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an energy of its own when it's put on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone else comes along and reads it, so frequently they'll make fun of it, they'll put people down, or they'll say, well, you didn't tell me this. Well, it was none of their business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why you even suggest, make sure you have a place where you can lock away if you have busybodies in your environment that are going to want to see what you write, put it someplace where nobody's going to read it.
Right. I learned that the hard way, Donna. I had something similar happen to me where I came home one day and there were copies of pages from my journal strewn across the kitchen table.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah, and to say that it caused a serious rift in trust would be an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
I did very much feel violated. The thing about this sort of writing is that it's like going to a therapist. You wouldn't want a member of your family or your friends to eavesdrop on that conversation. And many times, especially if you're a writer like I am, you work out a lot of things on paper.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not necessarily real. They're not necessarily true. They're you know, working out different scenarios and saying things that you normally wouldn't verbalize, and seeking some assistance in maybe looking at things from a different perspective. Because when you put it, you have a problem in a conscious way, you get an answer from the subconscious. It's often will steer you in a whole different direction. So I tell people, if you get a message that's generic and you want to share that, go right ahead. But if you're getting information that pertains strictly to you and about your own journey, you may not want to share that, so do keep it hidden away.
Be discriminating, discerning about who you share your experiences with, because not everybody is going to be open to understanding it. I know. As a counselor, I hear many things that people say, I wouldn't dare tell anybody else. And I go, well, I appreciate your trust, and that trust is not violated. But it's a shame.
Yeah.
Because so many times we have people around us that really don't get it. They really don't get it. So I really respect that. Now, I want to go into something. What's the difference between automatic writing and inspirational writing? You draw a distinction with that.
I do. And again, when I first started doing this writing, I didn't know what it was called. I heard the expression automatic writing and thought that was what I was doing until I attended an ARE conference back in Chicago. It was in the late 80s or early 90s. And Dr. Henry Reed was one of the speakers, and he had a handout about inspirational writing, and that was the first time I ever heard of that term. So I became confused, and I wondered, well, you know, which is it, and did it matter what I called it? And Dr. Reed said there was a difference, and his findings were based on the Casey readings. And then I also, in the research project that I did, came up with some additional differences between the two. But basically, inspirational writing is coming from a higher source, and it's used as a means for soul development, whereas automatic writing is coming from an outside source. So the difference is with soul writing, it comes from within. With automatic writing, it's coming from outside. With soul writing, you do a meditation before you enter the altered state. It gets you into the altered state to do the writing. With automatic writing, usually there is no meditation. With soul writing, you have total awareness of what you're writing. With automatic writing, you do not have awareness. That reminded me of the story that you had told earlier about when he came up not knowing what he had written. That's typical of automatic writing. With soul writing, you allow and consciously watch the writing proceed. With automatic writing, you have no control of your hand. It just happens by itself. With inspirational or soul writing, your handwriting remains the same as it is in a conscious state. With automatic writing, it's different. The inspirational writing, you use the prayer of protection, as I mentioned earlier. With automatic writing, that's usually omitted. And finally, with soul writing or inspirational writing, the information you're getting, it's feeling like your soul is being guided, whereas with automatic writing, it can direct or impel. It can make commands.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the basic differences between the two.
You had an experience, and Dick Sutphin was very influential in helping you to do a past life review.
Right.
Tell us how you did that, because I know a number of my listeners might be very interested.
Well, I was my background's in advertising, public relations, and marketing, and that's the way I used to make my living. And I had read about a subliminal programming tape that Dick Sutphin had put out called Start Writing Now, and I thought that could help me with that commercial writing. So I purchased this was a cassette tape, so you can tell how old this is. And so I put it on, and I was listening to it, and in it he describes, he says, I want you to create a mental movie, and I'd like you to see yourself, and then you'll start writing. So when he said that, I would, well, you know, I was already in an altered state of consciousness because I had the headsets on and my eyes were closed. And I saw a woman in a long white shift with a little white cap on her head, trimmed in lace, coming down a stairway holding a candle. And then she would walk up to a desk, pull out a piece of paper, sit down, and with a quill pen, she would start writing. And when she would start writing, then I was starting to do the writing at my end. And lo and behold, I was getting diary entries. And they were, they started to be from different time periods, 1793, then I would get something from 1795, 1798, and they read like journals, because it would be something like, you know, oh, breakfast was quiet, some disturbing news arrived last night, or I was in the garden working today. And I thought, what in the world is this? Because it read like a historic romance novel. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a clue what this was. And this went on for several weeks until finally I got a message where it was an aspect of my own past life had come through and wrote directly to me to identify the fact that this was a past life memory that I was pulling from within my soul and putting that out on paper. And then that resulted in a 600-page manuscript, which I never published, but it was just a fascinating process. And so I've decided now that my sequel to this book will be Soul Writing for Past Life Exploration, and I'm starting a research project next week in which I'm going to be doing regressions on people and then having them, while they're still in an altered state, to sit up and start writing. So yeah, Mr. Sutphin opened up a whole new avenue for me of exploring how you can use soul writing. It's very, very, very fascinating.
Well, your book is really fascinating, and you decided that you were going to develop what you called an encyclopedia of transpersonal definitions.
Right.
And so I'm just going to pull something out of that chapter here, and it was on synchronicity. Mm-hmm. And this is information that you got from those that you feel are guiding you, this inner awareness. And I'm just going to read it verbatim. There are no accidents, no coincidences. Everything is happening as planned, but only because one is wise in seeing opportunities for what they are and then following one's intuitive sense about manifesting them at the proper hour. Do not rush the process in your caution and, most of all, your trust. You must work cooperatively with the universe, and so it unfolds as planned. Your pattern is one of accidental discovery. You always stumble onto something when you're least thinking of it. It just happens. In truth, you did all the preliminary work yourself. When you reach a certain point, help from our side becomes manifest and something suddenly unfolds before your very eyes. It seems like an accident to you, but it is not an accident at all. After all, there are no accidents, no coincidences. These accidental discoveries are always monumental, and they're always to help others, to benefit large numbers of people, not just a handful. You've got so many other comments in your book, and I think it makes for a very good read. And you say, soul writing expands one's awareness, for it is the pure and uncensored voice of the soul. I know we're running out of time here, Joanne, so where is your website, or what is your website, so that people can find out more about you, soul writing, and also your book?
Okay. Well, I have two websites. One is soulwriter.net, and that's more about the different workshops and classes that I have. And then I have a publishing website, which is Old Souls Press, but that's with an E, O-L-D-E, soulspress.com. And information about the book is on that site. And
okay,
it's also available through Amazon.
All right. So we have two websites here that you can go and find out more about Joanne DiMaggio. You go to soulwriter.net, and then oldsoulspress.com, and that's O-L-D-E, souls, plural, press.com. Joanne, I really appreciate your being with me today. I think the bringing out the writing like this is very good, and I think it's a wonderful resource. Whether someone wants to become a professional writer or not is not the issue. This is something that I think is so personal, and it really can make a difference in a person's life. It can just really open up all kinds of wonderful doors for you, just like it has for you as an individual. It can do it for anyone who is listening. I want to thank you again, Joanne. Soul Writing, Conversing with Your Higher Self. Joanne DiMaggio, check out soulwriter.net, old, O-L-D-E, soulspress.com. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your light with a little bit of life, excuse me, with a little bit of insight. Give me a buzz at a toll-free number of 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. That's our toll-free number. You can call in from anywhere in the world and reach us. Well, we have got some interesting material to share with you today. And one of the things I want to share with you, and this is really going to sound crazy, is a recipe for split pea soup. Now, you may think that that is really simple. Let me tell you, the recipe I've got here is made with kielbasa sausage. It is delicious. So have a pad of paper handy, and we will go to it. I wanted to also share with you some information about computers and scams that are going on. There are always those people out there in the world of cyberspace that are absolutely brilliant, and they just love creating havoc for the rest of us. And this is something that I think anytime we can become aware of certain things, it is important. Have you been getting any emails from people that say, oh, I'm in London, I've lost my wallet, blah, 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 please send me money? Well, I get these every once in a while. And the first time I got it was with some person that I know personally that was in Las Vegas. I knew for a fact that they had not flown to London, but yet here it was with a description of them and information like, gee whiz, I'm in such bad straits. Well, fortunately, I knew this individual enough to know that this was some kind of a scam. So I wanted to share with you some details and points that we need to be aware of relative to the Internet, because the scams are getting more and more sophisticated, and we do have to stay alert. Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, they are being hit big time. The people that have figured out how they can get into you and muck up your life, they're having a field day, and they've just gotten started, you might say, just in the past year. So you need to protect yourself when you're in the social networking environment so that you're not hit with scams. You also want to protect yourself so that they will not get your personal information. So here are a few of the more common scams that are going on. Well, this one is, there is a message saying that a picture of you has just been posted. Check it out immediately. They'll say, check it out right here. So you go, very natural response. You're going to click on the link, which is going to take you to your Twitter or your Facebook login page. And there, what are you going to do? You're going to enter in your account information, right? Right. Well, what's happening, it's just like the bank fraud that has occurred. They have duplicated your stuff. You think you're going into the proper situation, and they're getting your password. Everything on the email and the landing page are fake. It will look like your intended social site. It's called phishing, and you've just been had. The cyber criminal has your password, as well as the control. This is what's scary, the control of your account. So anybody that wants to cause mischief for you, they're going to be able to do it. So you've got to be sure that you have anti-phishing devices because on your computer in your security. And by golly, there's also this thing is, oh, check out your IQ or vote for your favorite song. So what do? Where they say, we want information, put in your cell phone number. You have perhaps subscribed to a monthly service, telephone service, that's going to charge your cell phone $9.95 a month. Can you believe this? I mean, we went through this stuff with the standard landlines a few years back. It's not gone away. They have just upped the ante. They're going to be able to have access to your cell phone. Also, when they tell you can make money on Twitter and tweet for profit, if you fall for the scam, they're going to ask you for your credit card number in order to pay a $1.95 shipping fee to get a Twitter Cash Starter Kit. Well, guess what happens? There's only a 7-day free trial, and this company will then charge you a monthly fee. Usually it's around $50. And if you don't know that that's happening to you, if you don't check your credit card account, you're out of luck. You're going to be hit with those charges. So be careful, especially if you're on Twitter, on blindly clicking on shortened URLs because they hide the location of who's really being represented. So you might find that there is actual malware that is being installed on your computer. So I can imagine the companies that are developing new levels of protection are absolutely going ballistic on this because all of this is relatively new and it happens so fast. So you really have to be alert. So I know David Horowitz said, be sure if you're on Windows, run a security package and use current versions of Internet Explorer, Firefox, or Chrome, all of which, in their systems, they have built-in measures for protecting you against the fraudulent sites used by social network scammers. So just really, really be aware that a lot of these people are wanting access to your personal information, to your personal accounts. And they can really do some damage. So be alert, be aware. And one of the things that you can do, and this sometimes is a challenge for many people, but if you really want to protect your personal information, choose cryptic passwords, have them filled with random numbers, characters, and punctuation marks. And try to put on your calendar when you will change it. There's a lot of systems today, I know like QuickBooks and some others, they will demand that you change your password. You will not be allowed to get into your information without changing the password. And they have it so that it's like every 90 days. So these are points of information that I think are extremely significant. And my goodness, we have a tendency, I know I do, of taking things for granted. And we take it for granted because it runs so smoothly. And then along comes somebody that says, gee, I'd like to muck up your life. And they do a pretty good job of it. So be aware, be savvy, and keep yourself alert to the fact that not everything you get in email is going to be on the up and up. This is Donna Sebo. If you want to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Give me a call at 888-627-6008. I want to share with you who's going to be coming on next week. Now, the list for guests will be going up in the next couple of days, but our guest next week, Shark since. And the young lady I'm going to be talking with, her name is actually Sharky. Yes, that's what she was named. Sharky Zartman. And oh my goodness, not only is she a phenomenal athlete, but this is a lady who has really got her act together, and she's going to be sharing with us what she knows. And then we're going to be listening to meditative music for healing. Judith Lowe and an associate of hers have been working with sounds of music to create healing for people. And I've had these people as my guests many years ago, and they have this wonderful CD they've developed, so we're going to be talking about that. And then the suppressed history of the United States. Boy, Zaviant Haas, this is such fascinating information. This is stuff that we haven't heard about in school. Isn't it wonderful we're living in an era where people actually have the time to do research and that they want to bring forward facts that have been hidden? Well, we're going to find out about that. The Reiki man, Dominic James, is going to be with us. And then Primal Body, Primal Mind, Nora Gedgaudas is a fascinating, fascinating woman. And we're going to find out about what they've learned about the human body recently and what we can do to make our life even better. Great lineup of guests next week. We've got a great lineup always on the Donna Sebo Show, so I invite you to tell your friends, and the list goes up regarding the guests with a short little write-up about them on show information. So you'll have that within just a couple of days, and then we're going to be ready to rock and roll with a whole new lineup of guests. So I hope that you will check that out. Now, what I wanted to do before we go on break is to just give you a little bit of information regarding work and the trends that are evolving. And this is very significant because the working environment is not the way it was before. I was talking with someone today who's a hairdresser, and she's a mature lady, and oh, she's one of the best people I've ever met for a haircut. My goodness, she can make your hair do things. It's just amazingly wonderful because she knows how to cut. And that's what she really likes to do. And she developed an allergy to chemicals when she was doing permanence and all kinds of other things that so many hairdressers do. So she primarily just focuses on cuts. And I gave her some suggestions regarding about how she can grow her business because of some things that I found out when I was on my last business trip to California. And we need to be aware of trends. And in the hairdressing industry, you've got retirement centers, you've got places where people cannot get out very easily and they still want to look good, especially the gals, but even the guys. So we talked about how she could develop a business and could do what she wanted to do, maybe working just certain days during the week. She loved it, absolutely loved it. Well, Bob Nelson came up with some very good information regarding five major trends that are shaping the future of the work. The first one, and no matter what your age is, you need to be aware of this. There's a growing shortage of skilled workers. Believe me, this is true. Now, unemployment is more than 9%. It's closer to 25%. And it sounds strange that we would be lacking skilled workers. But this is what's happening. There is a skilled labor shortage. The current demographic trends show a declining birth rate in most industrialized countries combined with an aging population that's heading into retirement. So a lot of these mature people in their 60s and 70s, they're saying, thank you, I don't want to do this anymore. And if they don't pass their knowledge along, the younger generation is going to be caught short. So if you are looking for work, if you would love to do plumbing, mechanical work, electronic work, anything like this, a handyman, handywoman, hey, you're going to have work, and you're going to get paid well for what you do. So check it out. I have some more tips to share with you, plus that wonderful soup recipe that I want to share with you. So we're going to take a break for just a minute, and then I'm also going to give you the rest of the tips that Bob Nelson passed along. So we'll just take them one at a time. Donna Sebo here. You can also give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. We will be right back.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go into the tips with career, if you got that pad of paper handy and a pen, here in the Pacific Northwest, I swear Mother Nature is having a severe series of PMS attacks because we've had rain this morning and goes into sunshine and warmth. It's about 70 degrees, 72 degrees, and then all of a sudden it drops about 10 degrees, and then we go into rain. She's been doing this all day long. So I really think she needs to have some Prozac or something. But regardless, when the weather starts getting cooler, as it is, this is fall of the year, what you want to do is have those foods that really feel good, but also are going to be hearty. And there's just something special about a good soup. Well, this is something that's a recipe. Split pea soup is not a favorite of mine. Most of the times when it's fixed, it's bland. Not this recipe. This is good. So let me share it with you. This is split pea soup with kielbasa, sausage. Now, what you're going to need, you're going to need 1 pound of quick-cooking dried split green peas. That's about 2 1/4 cups. And you're going to need 3 fresh pork hocks, and each is going to be about 3/4 of a pound. And talk to your butcher about that. You can get that. You're going to need 2 stalks of celery, 2 stalks of celery, 2 medium onions, 2 medium onions, 4 green onions, 4 green onions, 2 parsley sprigs. You're going to need 1/4 pound of salt pork chopped, 2 teaspoons of salt, 1/8 teaspoon of dried rosemary leaves, and a bay leaf, and about 3/4 pound of kielbasa sausage. Now, by the way, if salt pork isn't available where you are, just use bacon. That'll be just fine. Now, what you do in a colander, you're going to rinse the peas under your cold water. You're going to drain them. You want to wipe the pork hocks off with damp paper towels. And you need a big kettle. You need something that's about 8 quarts to hold this. You're going to put your peas, the pork hocks, 2 1/2 quarts of water, bring it all to a boil, and then reduce your heat and simmer, cover it for about 45 minutes. Now, in the meantime, what you're going to do is your celery stalks, you're going to wash them, and you're going to cut them diagonally, maybe about 1/4-inch slices. Then your onions, of course, you're going to peel those, cut them in half, slice them very thinly. And also your green onions and parsley, just chop those up. And then in a medium skillet, you're going to want to saute your salt pork over medium heat, or your bacon, whichever you choose to use. You stir it until it's nice and crisp. Then you add your celery, your onion, your green pepper, your celery onion and green onion. You saute it until the onion is golden. It's going to take about 5 minutes. And then to your peas and your pork hocks, you're going to add your sauteed bacon and or salt pork mixture. And then the parsley, your salt, your rosemary, bay leaf, you mix it all into this one pot. Just mix it well. Bring it to a boil, then reduce the heat, simmer, covered for 2 hours. Now your pork hocks are just going to be so tender, they're going to be falling off of the bone. Of course, you're going to take that out of the pot first. And a slotted spoon works great for this. You put them in a shallow pan. You let those hocks cool. You're going to take off the skin and the excess fat. You're just going to want the meat that's going to be nice and lean there. You remove the meat, And you can chop it up or you can leave it in big chunks, whatever you prefer. And then you want to take and skim off any fat that may be on the top of the soup. Your kielbasa, you want to slash it at 1-inch intervals, about a fourth of the way through. And then you add the kielbasa to your soup, and along with your meat that you got from the pork hocks. And if your soup seems to be a little bit too thick, add a little bit of water, bring it to boiling, reduce it, and just let it simmer. You keep it covered for about 30 to 40 minutes. And then you want to have some croutons. You can make them fresh if you want, or if you have packaged croutons, those are just fine. The soup is going to be finished, and what you can do is just put the soup in a nice tureen if you've got one, or bring it to the table, and just add the soup to bowls and slice up the kielbasa, and you have got a meal that is going to stick to your ribs and then some. It makes about 8 servings. And it's just wonderful. You can fix this a day ahead if you want. Do that. It's going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. This is also a good recipe for a crock pot, believe it or not. You could do that too. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you because this is the time of the year when a good hearty soup makes all the difference. Let me go back quickly to the tips that Bob Nelson had. That also, tip number 2, he said, those born between 1980 and 2000 are soon going to be the largest working segment of the U.S. workforce, and both not just the amount of them, but also attitudes. So the workplace is changing because 90 million, you're hearing me correctly, 90 million prospective workers are motivated differently in what it is that they want to do than previous generations. They want work to be a part of their lives, but not to define who they are. And they want meanings in their jobs. They're not just interested in paying their dues. So instead of the attitude of, gee, you know, go up the career ladder, they're not interested in this. They want to have all kinds of working experiences. So we have a whole different thought segment here. And believe it or not, the temporary employment sector, if you're looking for work, check this out. It's becoming bigger and bigger. Why? A lot of times people are having difficulties hiring individuals back for full-time work. The economy has really been rough, so they're using temps. Now, there are 10 million contingent workers greater than union membership. 22 million companies in this country do not have payroll. They work with independent contractors. So there is an attitude shift, lifetime employment to lifetime employability. So when you're looking at training and education, keep that in mind. Also, virtual employees. A few weeks ago, I told you about a company, Alpine Access. This is what they're doing. Virtual employees. They haven't quite got everything down to the degree in other areas of the marketplace of knowing how to do this effectively and well, but it's happening. And it is something people are doing home office positionings because it makes it easier for them to deal with certain things in their life. Now, there's a disadvantage because you're cut off from the one-on-one interaction, but video is taking a lot of steps towards making the virtual workplace a very significant part of our lives. So those are just some observations that Bob Nelson made. I think he's got some very good points. And it really makes us aware that this is very, very significant. So if you're wanting to train for a career, be aware that you may have multiple talents that can go across the board in many different ways. Don't be afraid to try out new directions. This is Donna Sebo here. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a magnificent day or evening. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And as Joanne DiMaggio said today, soul writing can put you into connection with that part of yourself that doesn't know any limitations. Try it out. I think you'll like it. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you soon. God bless. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
PBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge bring humanity closer to truth. PBSRadio.com.
Hi, Doreen. I don't know why I'm laughing, but we're always laughing when we get on the show.
Well, you know what? It's always better to be happy than sad, right? You know, and we got a great show planned tonight on Angel Coaches. And why don't you tell everybody what it's going to be about?
Tonight we're talking about the seven chakras and the different angels that can help us clear and, increase the functioning and the balance of each one. And if, for those of you out there that don't know what chakras are, it's a Sanskrit word that means wheel, and it refers to the seven different energy centers, where our consciousness and energy systems are composed. And they kind of function like, pumps or valves that regulate the flow of energy through our systems. They're like satellites that pick up different wavelengths of energy and, maintain different balance center points within us. So that's what we're talking about today.
Okay, cool. And one of the things I want to mention is, you know, in the States, we always treat the symptoms. That's what we're told. But in Asia, you know, in China, Japan, they always look at the chakras to see what the problem is, because when they say it's the chakras that are out of balance, because each of the chakras control certain parts of our body. Right.
Definitely in the Asian culture, it's all about the energy balance within the chakras. I think Qigong and Reiki are all about that too as well, is balancing and maintaining and opening and clearing and cleansing each of the chakras. Oh, I just heard your dog.
On a first bark she's ever done. It's amazing. So
I know, I've never heard that before.
I'm so sorry. She's just a puppy. So she spotted herself in the mirror. Come here a minute, Bree. Stop it. So I apologize. My dog's name is Bree, and then she's anyway, and she's barking. So let's talk about the angels and the chakras. Corrine, I'm gonna take care of my dog in just a second, okay? I'll be right here. Come here.
All right. Well, before we get to the different chakras, the three lower chakras are the ones that govern self-consciousness, our emotion, our survival, and our will. The middle chakra is the center of our love, separate from the emotion, but the love that connects you to all that is divine. And it connects to our physical awareness and our spiritual awareness. And the top three chakras direct the psychic activity of, you know, it's where our clairaudience, our clairsentience, our clairvoyance, and our awakening of enlightenment comes from. And each chakra vibrates at a different speed and emanates a different color in the aura. And as you start from the bottom where the root chakra goes and you go up, the vibration and intensity increases. And they work together when they're balanced to help you be grounded and tune into your own psychic abilities.
What chakra are you on? Because I got my dog.
I was just describing the chakras again, just, you know, to wait for you to come back. So now you're back.
I'm back, and then what's cool about it is that usually you can't hear me good enough, and now you can hear me too much, so I'm backing off a little bit on the mic. So how cool is that? Finally got the internet stuff fixed. Let's talk about the first chakra, which is the root chakra, and it's located, will you tell everybody where it's located? So,
I know you're super loud now. You're very, very, you're coming through loud and clear.
Is this better, by the way? I hope so.
A little bit. Seth will let you know. It's a little loud on my end, but I think Seth's typing something to you right now. Okay, the first chakra is the base chakra, and it's associated with the color red. It's like this bright, very, very bright, vibrant red hue, and it's located at the base of your spine near the tailbone. This one is one that vibrates very slowly, but it emanates a very vibrant red hue.
I'm here. Can you hear me pretty well? So just double checking. Okay, good. One of the things, okay, the root chakra is, she said, is red. And the one thing about the root, with all the chakras, is they spin in a clockwise position. So in Reiki and Qigong, a lot of times the first thing they'll do is they'll make sure that your chakras are spinning correctly, or rotating correctly, I guess is a better way of saying it. When she was telling about where it was located, it's also the fight or flight. You know, that's your survival chakra. And I think some of the things that it as we told you before, it controls, each chakra controls a part of the body. And this one controls or is in charge, I guess maybe a better way, or has to do with your gonads and your ovaries. How cool is that? So at least you know they're taken care of.
Yeah. It's like your survival mechanism. It's that fight or flight. That's exactly it. It affects your, you know, your ability to take care of yourself. Gives you the.
Are you there? I'm here. Listening to you.
Okay. There's some noise in that. Okay. So yes, it's a survival mechanism. It gives you your awareness of danger, which is that fight or flight is what you're talking about. And your chakras, if they're out of balance, could be either overactive or underfunctioning. And if this chakra is overactive, it can cause you to be a little paranoid, nervous, self-indulgent. If it's underfunctioning, it can cause you to become a little depressed or out of touch with your body or passive. You basically just tuned out.
It does. And I tell you what, it also, all of our chakras, we have five senses, including the sixth sense, which a lot of us are developing. But the sense that it controls is the smell. I didn't mention this too as well. It's got the spine, the bones, the teeth, the nails, the legs, the intestines and prostate and cell multiplication. So that's, does quite a bit. And, and if you want to check your chakras or make sure they're working properly, you know, a lot of times you can go to a Reiki, practitioner, Qigong, or even, acupuncture. Acu works too as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Or meditation is great too, and for this chakra, you can just when you're in a state of meditation, you can just imagine it looks like a red orb, and it'll spin. So it's, and then just imagine this red light as intensely red as possible, and then just visualize your body in a very balanced state, very safe and secure and grounded. And then just, feel the energy from the red vibrance of the color.
I know that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. Forgive me. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh no, go ahead.
You know, for a lot of us that are listening, Karina are going to give you a chakra CD that has the meditations at the end of the show. So make sure you listen in. But go ahead. What were you going to say? Because I interrupted you.
There are also some, diets influence the chakras because, food, like everything else, breaks down into energy. So, what you eat is what you are. And, all foods vibrate and influence the different chakras. So for this chakra, the first chakra, the root chakra, the foods that influence it are red meats, animal fats, coffee and soda, peppers, hot spices, and spinach because of its iron content. And if your chakra is overstimulated, if you're feeling, nervous or paranoid or, you're just kind of, on that level, you should avoid these foods and drinks. If it's understimulated and you're finding that you're maybe a little depressed or you're out of touch with your body, you're feeling like you're passive, you shut down, you should definitely add these foods and drinks to your diet then. And it'll help you connect your soul more solidly with your body and increase your vitality.
Well, and also I want to make sure before we go to the next one that each, as we told you before, that each of the chakras are associated with a part of the body. So a lot of times, Louise Hay, well, let me back up a little bit. Louise Hay has a book called Heal Your Body, and she goes through all the body parts and which chakra is associated with it. No, I'm sorry, that's in another book. But she goes through all the body parts and when you have an emotional problem, it starts in the mind first, and then it'll affect the body, and it'll affect the chakra, and then the body. So she's really clear about that. So it's a heal your body. It will give you a better idea. So when we talk about the spine, the bones, the legs, the ovaries, a lot of times if you work with the root chakra, in the Asian culture, in your culture, Korean, because I know you're Chinese, they feel that it can, you've got a better chance of healing the symptom, which is the body part, and the problem is the chakra. So,
right. Yeah. And it's also where you're the foundation of your balanced state. So it all starts from here, your root chakra. And then, you know, you should always work from the first chakra and then up. But this is where you have your foundation and your balance. So this, it's essential to start here.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So then we've got the next. Yeah. The next one. Do you want to have anything else to add? So the second chakra is the, if you don't, I'm going to go on to the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second one is the sacral chakra, and the color of it is orange. It is low. It's approximately like about an inch or two where at your pubic line, you know, where I'm going to say this, so if it's okay, where your the upper pubic area is. And it is your creative reproduction of being, which that, what I've learned it, you know, because I'm a Reiki practitioner, I've learned it is that it actually controls your creativity. So if you're feeling blocked, like with writing or with, for you, you're an artist, you also write, then a lot of times it can be a block in that area. So what do you know about it? Because I know you've got some different things about
it
as well.
This is because it's the emotional chakra. It's also called the emotional chakra. So it's where all your emotions are coming from. That it's, it determines the consciousness of our emotion and our state of pleasure, our sexuality, our ability to, enjoy the pleasures of the body. So, both emotionally and physically, it allows us to experience the joy of feeling, and it influences our ability to experience pleasure. And you're right, it's kind of like between where your base chakra is and your navel. If this chakra is, you know, if it's overactive, that means, what will happen is that if you're finding yourself like kind of pushing the pursuit of pleasure a little too far, it can lead to a point, you know, if it goes a little too far in excess, it can lead to a little bit of greediness, or it'll influence your tendency for addictions. If it's under functioning, you might find that, you know, if you've experienced pain from a relationship, and then now you're feeling that you're repressing your urge to feel again, then you know that your chakra is under functioning. Because you're in a state of wanting to limit your sensation for pleasure, denying your body of pleasure too. So those are ways that you can kind of check with yourself to see if your chakra is either overactive or underactive.
How cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I definitely like the foods that are associated with this chakra. this is up my alley, because if it's under functioning, where you know you need to enjoy the sweetness of life a little bit more, and you need to open up to allowing yourself to feel again. The foods that you can eat are chocolate, bananas, watermelon, pears, honey, bread and butter, milk, dairy, ice cream, and pastas. And all of those will help to kind of reactivate the chakra. However, on the flip side, if you've taken it to an excess, then definitely eat less of these foods in your diet.
Well, like your philosophy, you say you've never met a dessert you didn't like, okay, or
right.
A piece of chocolate.
I guess this chakra's totally fine, though, for me.
Yeah, right? There you go. Oh, that's funny. But let me share with you the parts of the body that it affects. The pelvic area, the reproductive organs, the kidneys, the bladder, all liquids, you know, in our body, blood, lymphatic fluid, digestive secretions, and sperm. It's also, as well as the first chakra, because the first chakra had the ovaries as well, but this one, reproductive system, which is ovaries is part of that, the prostate and the testicles. You know, and also the hormones, because I have a list of that too as well, because I got this in Reiki. It's the estrogen and the testosterone. So, you know, if you're having estrogen, or, you know, women, we have PMS, and then some folks are going through the change of life, or men, you know, that look at that, you know.
Hmm.
That's the reason why I say working with a doctor is wonderful. And if you can find a doctor that believes in the, in the Asian culture, like they're teaching us, or if you work with a doctor and find a Reiki practitioner, Qigong, or acupuncture, you got it going on. So anyway, just a thought. What's the next chakra? That's the third one that we have.
The next chakra is the third chakra. That's the solar plexus chakra, and it's associated with a very bright yellow color. It's located in the region right above the navel.
Right. And it's right above the navel, and it also, it's the way it does is it's your well-being. It's I feel it's your self-esteem. That's what I was taught. So folks that, you know, and I think we, from day one, we have issues with our self-esteem, whether we were in grade school or parents or friends or whatever. When you don't feel like you are enough, your worthiness, this is the chakra that it affects right here. It's the third chakra. When I've done Reiki before, Kareem, on myself as well, that chakra is always the one that needs to be lined the first, you know, because we're always taking hits a lot of times just with our self-esteem. You know what I mean? Or I don't know if taking hits is probably the right way of saying it, because we're never a victim. But that's what the, you know, when you're insulted, when you feel insulted or you feel overwhelmed, a lot of times that's the chakra that it affects.
Right. It's the one that where, you know, you're finding that balance between the ego and your higher self. That's where it is. If your ego gets hurt, right, that's when you need to clean that chakra. But yeah, absolutely. It's... it is, unlike the first two chakras, this chakra is the one that also connects you to others. So it allows you also the ability to, kind of feel, tune into others, and allows you to connect with guidance from spirit too, as well, to separate yourself from the ego.
Yeah, that's true. And I told you the basic principle with that, but the sense that it affects is the sight, sight. And the one before that I forgot to say was taste. But the third chakra is all associated with sight, how you see. So, and the parts of the body is the lower back, the abdominal cavity, the digestive tract, the stomach, the liver, the spleen, the bladder, and the nervous system. It also, the glands that it affects is the pancreas and the liver, and and the hormones are insulin and gallbladder. So, diabetes, not enjoying the sweetness of life. Louise Hay does a lot with that, with her book, and Carolyn Meese does too as well. And so does Doreen Virtue with her chakra clearing, but yeah, not enjoying the sweetness of life. So that's something there.
And then how you can tell if it's, you know, understimulated or closed, that you may feel really tired be drained, might have insomnia, if it's off balance, you know, you might, you will be very, very anxious. This is where anxiety comes from. You may find yourself having being unable to say no to others, or an inability to stand confrontation, an inability to control your appetite. You might feel really super lazy, might be passive aggressive, just really kind of in a place of ego rather than with the higher self.
Wow.
Yeah. And the foods to stay, to eat, to keep this chakra balanced are fish, chicken, eggs, apricots, oranges, carrots, sweet potatoes, cranberry juice, papaya, and squash. And if you feel like you're just, you know, and you're aware of your ego and you're saying, okay, I'm just living too much of my ego right now. Also, if you're not connecting very well to like psychic energy as well, then you should definitely stay away from fish and chicken in this list.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. You're reading from Sonia, what's the book that you have that you've studied the chakras with?
This is this. It's called The Psychic Pathway, and it's by Sonia Chiquette.
Okay, yeah. So, one other thing I want to share with you. I was doing and do it maybe once a week is a Kundalini meditation, and he says, the gentleman that does it, he's a big yoga guy. He says that the third chakra, because he does one with aligning the chakras, has to do with order. You know, when you're orderly, you're organized, you're together. He said when like you said, people that are lazy, that really has to do with orderliness. You know, keeping it together,
being on time, all those things. He said that has to do with the third chakra. So he really, mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting, you know, too, as well. So,
Right. Yeah. It's definitely it's in line with this, because she's saying if it's off balance, you'll be wishy-washy. So yeah, that's definitely, you know, procrastination, not showing up on time, you know, feeling lazy. That's definitely, the third chakra.
How cool is that? So mm-hmm. yeah, that's the third chakra has a lot of good stuff there. I like the foods better in the second chakra, I got to tell you.
I do too. I know this one's all like the healthy chakra. It's like oranges, carrots, sweet potatoes.
Well, that's funny. Yeah. I have a friend of mine that just texted me when he heard you say lazy. He goes, "That I'm going to give that to my wife and tell her it's my third chakra." Funny. So anyway, he's listening to her show. That's funny. I think the fourth chakra, are you ready to talk about that?
Yeah.
It's the first four are the physical chakras, and then the next four are the spiritual chakras. Okay. So connect the first three are connected to the physical body. The next four are connected to the spiritual body. So, anyway, not that they're not all spiritual, but you know what I'm saying. So, and the next one is the fourth one. It's the heart chakra, and you can see it as green or pink. And most of us know where the chakra is. It's in the center of the chest, or the breastbone. And the basic principle of this is devotion, self abandonment. You know, when you're feeling like there's nobody around. You are the only one on the island. And I know we have all felt like that, you know, self-love. That's loving, you know, that's the most important thing, is loving yourself first. And the sense that it affects, of course, is feeling. But I know there's foods with it associated with it too as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, but what's interesting about this chakra, though, it's the heart chakra, but it's in a different place than the second chakra, which is the chakra that controls your emotions, because a lot of us forget that love is a totally different vibration from emotion. And this chakra is the love that is balanced, calm, giving, and accepting of oneself and others. This is the love that connects you with all that is divine, separate from your emotions and all that. This is like divine love. This is the chakra that connects your lower ego physical self to the higher soul, the higher spiritual self. It controls your self-acceptance, your acceptance of others, your trust, your state of well-being, abundance, prosperity, good health. It's the point of consciousness where you can feel pain, the joy and the struggle of another person or of the world, of humanity. It's like the empathic center. And the foods to eat to help you keep this chakra balanced are, again, very, very healthy foods, of course. Plums, cherries, it's all fruits and grains. Plums, cherries, strawberries, whole grain brown rice, couscous, any other type of grains, miso, soy, beans, and all forms of greens, vegetables, except for spinach. So that's another.
Gosh darn, I'm in.
That's on your diet.
I love spinach and the grain. Yeah, you're right. The fruits and grains and all, but I really enjoy them too as well. But I tell you, I love dessert. So if I could combine the little out of each one, that's the best. You know, I want to share this with anyone that's listening, and with you too as well, because you and I have talked about it a lot. And I know a lot of the sessions we do with people, it's about self-love. When we say about loving, and this is the chakra that's all about love, okay, sometimes we confuse need and love, I think. And so the best way to know what's the difference and what the chakra, when it's operating at its best, is when you hug, if any of you guys have or the man or the woman that you love, when you feel that moment when you've hugged that child for the first time or kissed your child, or when you've had, you know, loved a man or a woman and they've really connected with you, that's the kind of love that this chakra is about. So don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great.
Okay. So, all right. And you told the parts of the foods. Let me tell you what it affects. It's the upper back, the heart, of course, the rib cage, the chest cavity, the lower lungs, the blood, the circulatory system, the hands and the skin, and the thymus gland. That's the glands that it affects. And the hormones are the thymus and the thymus hormone. I want to share this story if it's okay. I had a friend of mine that actually got cancer in his heart. And he had a lot of anger with his father from a childhood, since he was a boy. And he got it when he was in his mid-40s. But the one thing that he said that he did was he had the Western treatment of, you know, removing the cancer through various mm-hmm. things. He said, but I also did meditation. And he said, I did a lot of Reiki. And I know this because I was the one that gave him the Reiki. And he's been, he chooses to use the Reiki. I was just the one that channeled it for him. But he is 100% fine today and totally healthy. Just got married about 2 years ago, too. So how cool is that? And had a baby, mm-hmm. you know.
Wow. I know. It's so important to pay attention to your emotional state because it can manifest into, you know, the physical body and the organs that you're listing now. So, it's really important to keep these parts of your body healthy, and Reiki is definitely a great way to do that.
Yeah, because it works on the mind, body, and spirit, the physical, the mental, and the emotional, you know, so, and the spiritual part of all of this. And when you work on the spiritual, that's when you see miracles on the physical, whatever that looks like to you, you know. Okay, what's the next chakra?
The next chakra is the fifth chakra, and it's the throat chakra. It's located at the level of your throat, and it's like a sky blue color. This is the chakra that controls consciousness of psychic hearing. It allows you to be telepathic, allows you to hear the thoughts of other people, and hear the voice of your inner higher self as well. It's the chakra of communication. And when it's fully opened, you can develop clairaudience with it. You can hear your guides and also hear spiritual music. It's also the consciousness that is your subconscious storehouse to the Akashic Records, which is very, very interesting. This chakra, when it's off balance or closed, you'll find that you may have so much inner chatter going on inside of your head. It's a lot of self-talk, a lot of inner voices that will not allow you to really express yourself or to be honest or to listen to what you know inside your heart as truth. You may find yourself tuning other people out or only partially listening to what other people are really saying because you only want to hear what you want to hear. You may find that maybe all that inner dialogue is just, it's just you'll find yourself with a lot of intense negative self-dialogue going on in your head. It's just, you know, that's when you know that this chakra is off-balanced or closed. Sometimes they associate this with people saying that they hear voices in their head. They can't shut that off. Yeah, that's when this chakra is way off-balance because, you know, sometimes you may hear your own voice, you're hearing other people's voices, and you're hearing the voices of spirits. That's when you're hearing voices in your head.
That's nice. I know. I told you, my daughter told me, she goes, you know, people that talk and hear voices and see people that no one else can see are put in a crazy house. She's only kidding. And she goes, Mommy, you make a living doing this. I said, yeah. She's so funny. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, well, that's because yours is balanced, though. But the ones that can control it is when they're hearing just all that mindless chatter going on. So if you find yourself in that state of mindless chatter, or you're finding it difficult to really be honest with yourself and really listen to your inner voice, your intuition, the truth that lies within you, that's when you know that this chakra is off balance.
Yeah, I want to share this with you if it's okay, Corinne. And it's light blue. That's Carolina blue. I'm from North Carolina. That's always how I remembered that one. My mom was a Reiki master. She would talk about it when I was much younger. When I was really, really going through trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, and I think we all go through that, okay, you know, when you have an old life that ends and a new life begins, you know what I mean? Some of us, it's done by inspiration or desperation. I remember one night laying in the bed and meditating, and all of a sudden I saw this angel that was blue. She was surrounded by blue, like blue color, and she was very beautiful. And I believe it was Archangel Gabriel. And she said, I will help you do your work. It's all about communication, teaching, and healing. And I go, what are people going to think of me? She goes, don't worry. You're going to be okay. But I'll never forget that it was such an important message. And, you know, Archangel Gabriel is associated with communication, getting your work out there. She's amazing. And we'll go through a little bit of the angels that are associated with each of them in just a minute. But I wanted to share that story with you. The sense that this one affects, by the way, is hearing. And the parts of the body are lungs, the bronchioles, the esophagus, the vocal cords, the throat, the nape of the neck, the jaw, and the jowls. Did I say that right? Jowls. Anyway, and the glands that it affects are the thyroid gland and and the hormones are the thyroxine. Did I say that? I hope I said that right. Yeah. Thyroxine. And it's all about communication. So a lot of times, and just a little side note, if you have a problem sharing your truth with a loved one or your kids or your, you know, work or, you know, family members or husband or wife, and this chakra gets blocked, it'll show up as a cold or something like that. Have you ever had that happen? You know, where you got, mm-hmm. where you could, yeah, me,
oh, absolutely.
Me,
oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have as well. It's like, okay, got to work on that chakra. So, anyway, the next one is the third eye. You want to go over that one?
I just want to quickly talk about the foods that you can eat here.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. That's okay. So again, if you're finding yourself kind of, you know, not able to focus correctly and you've got this intense, you know, negative self-dialogue going on in your head, the foods that you can eat to help you keep this chakra balanced, is ginseng, ginkgo biloba. There's a type of mushroom called a reishi mushroom that helps. Barley, wheatgrass, bananas, echinacea and kelp. And then there's a natural kind of supplement that's derived from plants called KM that will also help you too as well.
KM? Mm-hmm. Like the letter K? Cool.
Like letter K and the letter M.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. So we have what's the next chakra?
The next chakra is the sixth chakra and it's the third eye chakra. It's located at the level of your forehead, between your eyes, just above the eyebrows. And it's the color of like an indigo blue. It's almost black and fades into a violet. So it's like an indigo blue, or like a real piercing indigo blue color.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's the third eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and one of the things that I know about it is that's, you know, we talk about the chakras, but when you connect with spirit or your angels, it comes from your third eye or the next chakra, which is your head chakra. And this is where your intuition. A lot of people say that your sixth sense comes through, and this is your third eye. So it's that's mm-hmm. an important one, and it has all the knowledge of being there, of your mental, physical, and spiritual body. You can get all the information through this chakra if you choose. Mm-hmm. And it's all about hearing. That's a sense that it affects. And the body parts are the lungs, the bronchioles. I'm sorry. The cerebellum, the ears, the nose, the sinuses, the eyes, and parts of the nervous system, and the face. So if you're, you know, when you get an ear infection, is that because your third eye is blocked? Maybe, right? That's what Louise Hay says. But your glands that it affects are your pituitary gland, and also the hormone is the hormone of the hypophysis. Did I say that right? I think so. But yeah, so it's an important one, and it's also a spiritual one. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And when you see that it's opened, when it's open properly and fully, and it's blossoming, you know you. it's just like where your sixth sense comes in. Yeah, like you said before, it gives you the ability to see clairvoyantly. You'll be able to see auras and see the chakras. You'll be able to see visions that that are sent to you and messages from spirit. You'll be able to see into the soul. If it's shut down or if it's blocked, you'll find yourself with like a tendency to be like overly intellectual about things. You'll see things very, very, you'll find that you have a tendency to kind of be just really black and white and seeing only concrete aspects of things.
Right.
And you're kind of just, you're basically missing the soul of what's around you. You're living a very linear life, very rational, very flat. That's when you know that this chakra is shut down or blocked. But the foods that you can eat to assist with opening it and to keep it balanced are lecithin, wheat germ, barley again, vitamin E, alfalfa, chamomile, and lots of water. Drink lots of water.
Well, see, that's not the fun one then, okay? Also, the ears. So clairvoyant, of course, with the eyes, but also when you're some of us and you and I are clairvoyant and clairaudient, you can hear things. That because it affects the ears. So that's something, too, out of that. Indigo, sixth chakra, third eye. So just a little side note there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And, of course, meditation really helps to open up this chakra. But another thing that you can do that really helps you kind of increase or assist in this chakra being opened up for you is to do a lot of like imagination exercises. So like drawing, coloring, painting, or daydreaming, you know, just anything that increases your imagination. You can play with making up pictures in your mind. All of these will really strengthen and assist this chakra to open.
Yeah, there you go. And once again, I'm going to mention Reiki and Qigong for people that have just started listening in or maybe didn't hear it in the beginning. I have to share this with you. A friend of mine has a daughter, and her daughter is 5 years old now. And she told her mom and dad the other day, she goes, "You have three eyes, one right here, the right eye, one right here, the left eye, and one in the center of your forehead." How cool is that?
So, oh, that's wonderful.
She's a little crystal child. So, you know, she actually saw the eyes. I was like, oh, how cool. You know?
Wow. That's wonderful.
She told me the other day, she says that my third eye is more open than her father's third eye. So I love kids. They're so honest, aren't they?
You know what I mean? That's a special little girl there. Wow.
Yeah. So, and then we have the seventh chakra, I think, and we share with people what that one is.
The seventh chakra is the crown chakra, and it's located at the top of the head at the highest point of your body, and it's a violet-white color. This is where you receive, divine wisdom, divine light pouring into you from your crown. This is where a lot of people feel it it's kind of like, you always see angels with the halo. That's the aura on the top of the head. It's like that light that's at the crown of your head. So when it's open, you're tuning into like the divine energy, divine light. So you, this is where, like you were saying before, is where all your psychic abilities can come from. When you're really tuning in, you're tapping into the universal mind. You'll be able to look into past lives, see a soul's history. You'll know things without even having a reason, because you're tapping into the universal mind where information is stored. When you're meditating and you want to kind of increase your psychic abilities, or you want to tap into, you know, divine light, and a lot of people do this through meditation without even knowing it. They always imagine a white light surrounding them coming from above. That's the light entering through the crown chakra and filling up your soul.
That's beautiful. You're right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please go on.
Oh, no. It's the chakra that's, governs your consciousness with your spiritual awakening, enlightenment, spiritual wisdom, all that.
Yeah. You and I were chatting before the show, and what I do know is that when you connect with your angels, all that is, however you see your higher power or powers, you do it either through your third eye or your top chakra. And let me share this with, the basic principle with the chakra is you were just saying, is it's like your pure being. It's your connection to all that is. Mm-hmm. And the, it affects all the senses, especially the sixth sense. So, you know, it's smell, taste, sight, hearing, feeling. And then and where it's located, or the parts of the body you told her it's located, is the cranium and the cerebrum. The glands that it affects is the pineal gland. And Karina, I don't want to, if anybody's listening, or we know you're listening, we're not saying that this is the end all do all, but it is a start. You know what I mean? If you got situations going on and you're feeling tired or something's going on with, your ovaries, as well as going to a doctor, doing Reiki or Qigong is really, really well. It does really well with this. One of the things I want to share with people, Karina, and I know you and I talked about it, when we're doing, when you are talking or communication, you want your heart and your communication chakra to be connected, right? Because if you're loving someone, you want to make sure that you can communicate your truth to them, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think so. One of the things that I like to teach people, and you and I've talked about this, is if you learn how to bring the energy from, let's say, your first three chakras, like your root chakra, the fight or flight, and connect it to your heart energy, and then to your throat energy, and then through your third eye and your top chakra, imagine how that changes the energy in that root chakra, okay? Or in your creative chakra, which connects with the sexual glands, or your sexual organs. Sorry. Imagine if you take that second chakra and bring the energy. You can visualize it yourself, or you can take your hand and bring it up through your heart, your throat, your third eye, or the top of your head. Because when you start bringing that energy up through there, or visualizing it, it changes it becomes more spiritual, I mean, I know some, you and I have talked about that. Have you ever been intimate with someone and you wish it could have been, you felt all this connection and they didn't, you know what I mean? Or not they didn't, but you felt such an emotional connection and you weren't sure if they did. But if you're working with yourself and then your partner, and then just taking your hand like 2 inches above them, and then bringing that, concentrate on bringing that energy from that particular chakra up through the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the top chakra, it changes the energy. And also on a big level, it changes the relationship ultimately. We have done that in Reiki classes. Amazing. Or, it's taught the process, and then they go home and, of course, try it. Don't try it there. So, but yeah, could you imagine? So, where's my partner? I'm going to call him now, or her now. Bring him in. I mean, if you're talking about in while you're having sex, or this is before you're having
sex? Well, if you're really concentrating on that while you're having sex, you probably need to look at your partner. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you can. I'm not saying that that you can't. But, in that time, there's a time sometimes when you're laying together watching TV, or before or after, that you can learn to bring that energy up. You know what I mean? So it's coming, that sexual energy is coming with the heart, from the heart, the throat, which is communication, mm-hmm. and the third eye, which is connecting you to all that is, and the crown chakra, which is doing the same. And it really does ultimately change it. And it's not a big thing. It's just you can visualize it within yourself first, because you go, oh, my man needs to be more loving. Well, if you're thinking he needs to be more loving, you probably need to do that yourself. Or my woman needs to be more loving, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So, yeah.
I really like that, because because the heart chakra is just the vibration of love, that divine love, without the emotion attached to it, like the needy, the fear, all of that. So when you get the pure essence of the energy from that chakra, from the heart chakra, and then you bring it up, that's just such a wonderful vibration, I think, because you leave behind all of the lower vibration energy of emotion attached to it.
That's very true. And so can you imagine, have you ever heard, and you and I work with clients all the time, well, he doesn't talk to me, I don't know how he feels. Maybe if you're holding his hand, or you're, you know, you don't even have to be intimate having a sexual intimate moment. When you're just, you know, just kind of like taking your hand and bringing like the energy up from his third chakra, which is about communication, self-esteem, or from his lower chakras up to his heart and his throat, where, or her throat, or her heart. Imagine what that does. You know, it's those little things that we don't know that we can do, and it doesn't cost any money, and it's no big deal. You know what I mean? It just takes a couple of minutes, you know, so. And you're like, well, he's going to know I'm doing something. Well, if you don't hold your hand above his body, like, sit still, let me do this. Maybe just, you know, rub your hand up his or her body, you know, like, you know, tickling, I don't know. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big deal. You know,
I think a friend of ours, she I think one time mentioned that she actually does the, you know, like this energy work on her husband while he's sleeping.
Yes, that's right.
Right? Remember?
Yeah.
So that's a good time to do it, and you just only infuse love, loving energy. And I think what she said was she kind of brings her hand over, kind of scans his body as he's sleeping, and only sends him, you know, positive and loving affirmations. And that's another way of working with the chakras without the Reiki, because I think she's just doing just energy, just sending positive energy.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do, and people think, well, I'm not certified in Reiki, or it doesn't really matter. You know what? The biggest healer is you when you love someone and you love yourself first. So I think that's super important. And, you know, I had a friend, I told her to do it too as well when he's sleeping, and she goes, well, I never get asked to stay over. I was like, oh, okay, there's a lot more going on here, you know, but, yeah, I know, sounds bad, doesn't it? But we have angels that are associated with them. So, Archangel Raphael, for instance, is all about healing. So, he really would work with the first, three chakras, the root, sacral, and the third chakra, the self-esteem one that we're talking about, or the sense of well-being, because he's all about physical healing, okay, and that's the physical chakras. Also, Archangel Michael is great to work with the third chakra, especially because he gives you courage to be who you are, you know what I mean? All you have to do is ask, right? So that's something that people that are listening in, if you want, say, okay, I've got problems with, you know, confrontation like you were sharing with, or I don't like to talk, or I'm not orderly enough, I'm disorganized, you know, and then Michael will help you, give you courage to do your, be yourself and walk in truth. And then the heart chakra, which archangel do you think would do that one or be with that one?
For me, it was for the heart chakra. I mean, we were talking about archangels here.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I was kind of focused on Archangel Raphael there, because he was saying that he also works with addictions. Addiction.
Right.
That's the second chakra.
Right.
To kind of overcome addictions. I'm sorry. I just tuned in to him there. I think because I was talking to him earlier today. So the heart. You were saying the. For the heart? Is that the question that you just asked me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, So what chakra would be for the heart? It's emotional, right? The heart, well, the heart's all about great love, not emotional. But which one do you think would be for the heart? In for you, actually, maybe, you know?
Are you, I'm sorry. I don't know if you're asking me or if you're telling me.
Babbling, as a friend of ours says, jibber jabbering, right? Which archangel do you feel was with the heart? I think it's Archangel Uriel. Okay, so maybe that will be good. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So Archangel Uriel is great for the heart. Is that who you work with when you're working with your heart chakra?
Yes. I'm sorry. Your mic kind of got distorted there a little bit, so I couldn't quite hear you. Did you just say Uriel?
Yes, Archangel Uriel.
Yes. With the heart, with healing
right.
The heart. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the sixth chakra, which is, or the fifth chakra, which is the communication center. We know that because I said it earlier, is Archangel Gabriel. She is wonderful. So if you're having a challenging time getting your work done, and you know that you're, and it doesn't mean that you, it's spiritual work, because everything's spiritual, whether you're doing it, calling it metaphysical and spiritual. But if you're working with her and you're communicating your truth, like James Cameron did The Dolphin Tale, I think he directed that. You know, he's a very metaphysical guy. But can you imagine? I think Archangel Gabriel works with him all the time. But she's all about getting your work out there and helping you with communication. And then the sixth chakra, that's the fifth chakra, the sixth chakra, which is the indigo, and that's your third eye. Archangel Metatron. See, I always mispronounce that so much. Metatron helps with that one as well. So, and then the seventh chakra, all of them work with the seventh that connects you to all that is. So how cool is that, you know?
That's wonderful.
Well, there's more than seven.
Yeah, there's more than seven archangels. But if you can't remember which ones, Archangel Michael helps with all of them too. So he's the top dog of the archangels. So if you can't remember these names, Archangel Michael is great with the clearing and opening of any of these and balancing of any of these chakras. So
he's the end all do all angel. Okay. Yeah. And then we also have a couple of things like with the meditation. So you, I think Doreen Virtue has a meditation, doesn't she?
Yes. For which Archangel Michael? No. Sorry.
No. Doreen Virtue has a meditation for chakras. It's the morning and evening meditation, and it's clearing and opening the chakras. Mm-hmm. So you can get that on Amazon. I think it's wonderful. I've used it. I know that you have it as well.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And also, you know, this book with by Sona Choquette, The Psychic Pathways, actually, within each of these chakras, she has some great meditation practices and affirmations that you can say that are specific to whether or not your chakra is overactive or underfunctioning. She's got some great affirmations that you can say for each of those scenarios. And just great meditative and visualization techniques. So it's a great book for that.
Yeah, I like that. And then there's also Kundalini meditations that really will work with the chakras too. You can go to audiblebooks.com, audible.com, I know Amazon. And I think we have a caller, and you and I have been chatting away and talking, and she's been on there for a while, so let's talk to her if she's still there. Oh, I feel bad. Kim?
Hi there. How are you, girls?
Hi.
Oh, so sorry, Kim. We didn't even realize, and we just got to talk in, and I'm so sorry.
I've been so, you know, I love talking about the chakras, and I will reiterate to you that I do listen to the Doreen Virtue meditation, and it's fabulous. Unbelievable.
Oh, good.
She takes you through an in-depth meditation, and you feel like $1 million when you're done, and especially if you are having a rotten day or something going on in your life. I'm going to do it actually right after the call. I had forgotten about it. And, you know, you're able to download it onto your iPod, which is even better.
I know. I love that, too. It's good. What's your question?
Nothing new with Jeff. I believe he's still on the back burner. But my friend Mario from Italy called me. He's in St. Louis, where he lives now. Called me last night and invited me to fly me to his home tomorrow and then flying me back Sunday night. Told me to sleep on it last night and we would talk about it today. And if I were not going to go there, then he would come here to where I am. And I've had very little contact with him today, so I'm just sort of wondering what's up.
It feels like he's going to come to see you. That's what I feel. Okay. I'm not sure why I know that or feel that, but that's what I got really strong. It feels like he's going to come to see you. It's going to be easier for him to do that. It feels like there's a bit. Did he call you or talk to you about his day being hectic, crazy, or something with business?
I sent him a message first thing this morning that said, I've got a meeting, and then right after that I've got a 10-minute break, and then another meeting after that. Can I call you later before I go to lunch? And he said, sure. And I did, and he didn't pick up. And then I just called him before the call tonight, and he said, "Let me call you back tonight. I'm with some people."
It just feels like he's been super busy with stuff, and I know he's a really powerful person, individual. So, but I believe that he'll come to you, okay? But he'll talk to you about it.
He's not what?
Extremely busy.
I think you just cut out there for a second, Tari.
I said he's not blowing you off. He's just super busy. That's all.
Okay. Jeff, still in the picture?
Yes.
It's like that one's on. He's not that one. I'm sorry. That one. I said that one. He is. He's on hold.
Yep.
He's on hold. Because he's still there though. He's still there. But it's almost like I get the feeling like you need to see where this goes with this other man, and because the energy around Jeff is like, it's like there's no movement. It's like he's just there. He's just there. I'm not seeing anything moving with him. There's no and that's fine, because I think you really need to kind of see where this goes with this man. And I'm not getting anything negative from him at all. There's no negative emotions. He really is into you, really does want to see you. He's just super, super busy. Total 100% intention to come see you, or to spend time with you. That's on his mind. And business and work. And does he have an ex-wife? Something there with that. Okay. There's something there with that. But nothing that will interfere with your relationship with him, but there's something there on the side with an ex-wife. But Jeff is just on hold. It's almost like the universe is creating this ability for you to be able to kind of just wait and see this other thing out.
Mm-hmm. It's a pause moment for Jeff, but he'll be back, okay? And you get to make decisions. Remember, Kim, you get to choose, okay?
That'd be nice.
I think we got to go close the call. So thanks, Kim, for calling. And, Corrine, we've got, if anybody wants to know anything, we've got angelcoaches.com that they can go to and to get information. What else do you have to share?
And that's about it. And if they want information to join the we have a weekly teleconference on every Tuesday night. Send us a note and we'll give you the information. And you can go on our website to see the classes that we have coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, if you go to angelcoaches.com, you can send us an email. So anyway, everybody have a nice night, and we'll see you later.
Good night.